more than a day or a week. She wanted to take care of these people who had unknowingly given her one of the most influential and important nights of her life. She wanted to be part of the Ash Crew. Chapter 8. Skylar stretched her legs out, searching for cool pockets under the soft covers of her bed. It had to be 3 in the morning at least, and sleep still eluded her. Between the push-up contest and all of this change she could feel happening inside of her, she should have been exhausted. But instead, she couldn't hold her arms and legs still for more than a minute before she went to fidgeting again. She had to cut ties with Roger. It wasn't enough to disappear forever and never have closure. She needed to face him and tell him she was leaving. Tell him he'd messed up when he mistreated her. If she didn't, it would always feel like her heart was half-healed, splayed open, waiting for the last few stitches. She sat up and pressed the pads of her feet onto the cool floor beside her bed. The room was dark with the blackout curtains covering the windows, but her night vision was excellent. Hooray for shifter senses. She padded across the room to her oversized purse that sat on top of the dresser. With her phone pulled from the side pocket, she turned it on and waited impatiently. It took forever to turn onto the home screen, or so it seemed, as the seconds she spent thinking about what she was going to say to Roger left her hands sweating at the palms. When the main screen finally glowed through the darkness, it told her she'd missed 42 calls from Roger, or as her phone secretly identified him, Assface. That tiny rebellion had made it easier to shoulder the things he said and did, at least when he called, and the uncharitable name she'd given him flashed across the screen. It felt like a tiny victory in a war she'd long ago lost. There wasn't enough reception for her to call out, so she made her way to the living room and stood on the couch. She shoved the phone upward until it touched the sagging ceiling, but it still didn't have enough bars. Crap. More determined than ever, she ran into the bedroom and slipped on the jeans she'd borrowed from Brooke, then snuggled into Kellen's jacket he'd lent her. It swallowed her and hung down to her knees, but it smelled of him and made her feel stronger. Strong enough to do this now. Tonight. The porch didn't offer enough reception, so she made her way to a creaking gate in the fence behind 1010 and onto a worn trail that led up the mountain. The moon was only half full, but that was plenty of light for a shifter like her. Farther and farther she hiked, until she reached a ledge that overlooked a valley. She gasped and stared out over the vast wilderness. Stars painted the sky like glitter on a canvas. Pulling her jacket more soundly around her, she lifted her cell to her face. 3 bars. Good enough. Squaring her shoulders, she punched the call button and settled the speaker against her ear. Roger asked, "Where are you?"
"I have something to say, and I'd appreciate it if you just let me get it out."
"Fuck what you have to say. I've looked everywhere for you. You're supposed to be home when I got back, cooking me a fucking chicken dinner. An edible one this time."
"Stop yelling at me." Damn that pathetic tremble in her voice.
"I'm not going to ask you again, Skylar. Where are you?"
"I've left you." She held her breath and closed her eyes. A beat of stunned silence sat heavy between them, and she imagined him running his hands through his greasy blonde hair.
"You stupid bitch. Do you even know what you're saying right now?"
"I don't choose you. I want the right to find someone else, someone who doesn't hate me."
"I don't hate you," he ground out.
"Do you love me?"
"Yes."
Lie. It was gross how easily he could do it. "Then why did you push me the other day? Why did you laugh when I hit the counter? Why did you leave me there on the floor crying? Why did you call me names as you walked out the door? Do you even know what love is?"
"Love," he repeated, disgust dripping from the word. "You speak of love too much. It's not important to anyone but saps and humans. You have one job to do, Skylar, and you can't even fucking do it. Keep me happy. And when you manage that, bear me offspring and continue my lineage."
"Do you even like kids?" Her voice had wrenched up an octave, but she didn't care. She was in Ashland Mobile Park, long out of his treacherous reach. She was safe.
"What does that have to do with anything?
God, you really are as stupid as the council told me you were. Underachiever in finishing school. Pain in the ass to your handlers. But did I listen? No. I let your tight ass and fucking delicious-smelling cunt sway me into a bad decision.
Each word he uttered was a blow. Her knees buckled. Heavily, she sat in the dirt and looked helplessly at the starry sky.
Great, she said in a small voice. Crisis averted. We can both go our separate ways. You can go find a mate who has a shot at pleasing you, poor woman, and I can make my own way without you.
He laughed, a long, cruel sound that bubbled from his chest and bounced around her head.
You're so stupid, he said, still chuckling. You don't make this decision.
I do. I don't want to separate and pick someone else.
You want to know why?
His voice dipped low and harsh, all humor gone.
Because your misery makes me happy. You can't hide your disdain for me from your face. And it soothes something in me I can't fix when I'm not winning a war for your precious daddy. And when you come home, Skylar, I'm gonna fuck you. No more waiting for the ceremony. No more putting me off. I own you, and I'm gonna hurt you, Skylar. That'll be your punishment for thinking you could leave a crestfall.
I'd rather be banished than come back to you.
There it was, that steel she knew could bolster her voice. The tremble had left her, and in its place was determination. She wasn't his plaything, or a spoil of war, or revenge on her father for whatever the wars had leached from Roger's humanity. She wasn't just a wet hole for him to force himself into either. She'd rather die than be used by him.
Do you know what they'll do to you if you're banished?
The Wilkin Raiders will find you as soon as someone leaks that you've been banished. They won't just kill you, Skylar, you poor naive little idiot. They'll break those fragile little bones in your fingers first, then move up. They'll cut away at you until you beg for death. Then they'll let you heal and start over for months. Come home, and I won't tell the council what you've done. Do it now before I lose my patience.
I can't. She was terrified, shaking so hard she had to hold the phone with both hands. If their enemies caught her, she'd be tortured. But she couldn't go back to the way she was before. She'd been uncaged, had tasted freedom. How could she go back now to that dark place she'd lived in? I won't.
You'd rather spend the rest of your short life alone?
She was going to get that job and stay here with people who cared if she lived or died. With people who saw her as more than some genetic jackpot. With Kellen. I'm not alone, she whispered, barely strong enough to find her voice. Not anymore.
You've surprised me, Tegan said from behind.
Kellen jumped and jerked the brake level, grinding the cables traveling down the mountainside to a halt. He couldn't remember the last time someone had snuck up on him, and it made him more irritable than he already was.
How so? He gritted out. Your mate is down there working with the crew, and you're all the way up here. And you haven't once asked me to switch you out so you could be closer to her.
Tegan gripped the cage of the giant machine Kellen operated.
Now, I've known you a long time, and you can't help your protective instincts. But with Skylar, I've watched you avoid her since dawn. What gives? She's not my mate. I'm not made for horse shit.
Kellen growled and searched the hillside below him. When he was sure it was still clear, he hit the lever that dragged a trio of giant logs up the side of the mountain.
What do you want, Tegan? You bled me yesterday, were a pain in the ass last night, and now you're bored of working so you want to piss me off all day? Is that it?
Why are you avoiding her, Kellen? Kellen hit the brake and twisted in his seat.
Why did Brooke leave you?
Tegan's face morphed into an expression of pain, and his gaze automatically glided over to the hill that Brooke had sat on the day he'd been forced to turn her.
If you're bringing that up just to hurt me, I'm not. I want to know why.
A distressed muscle twitched just under Tegan's left eye, but Kellen glared him down, waiting.
She left because she didn't want me coddling her while she tried to get stronger.
Tegan angled his head and gave Kellen a dead-eyed look.
That's why you're keeping your distance from Skylar. You don't want her running from you. All I want to do is follow her around and do everything for her. I don't want her to have to lift a finger. I want to feed her and bathe her. I want her living in my den, not 1010, so I can hold her if she ever gets scared. I want to pick her up and carry her everywhere, for Christ's sake. And last night, I wanted to win this job for her. She did it on her own, though. If I allow myself to do the things I want for her, eventually, she'll leave. I followed her out into the woods last night. I couldn't help myself. I knew she needed to call Roger on her own, but I trailed her anyway. He shook his head, disgusted with himself. And I listened to him call her names over the damn phone line, and I heard the vile way he talked to her, and she didn't even react, Tegan. She's used to it. And all the while she's just taking it, my animal wants to reach through that phone and pull his larynx through his neck. She's already stronger than when I picked her up. Hell, maybe she's stronger than me. But I saw what Brooke went through, and the aftermath of her leaving you. I know what I can and can't do, and apparently my dopey ass can't handle losing Skylar like that. I have to give her space to get stronger on her own so that maybe someday she'll give me a real shot. And not just because I was the first nice guy to come along and give her positive attention, but because she wants me back. I thought you didn't want a mate. I don't. Kellen's headache blazed to life again, rattling his skull. He ran his hands through his hair, massaging his scalp as he steadied his breathing. I can't have a mate. But it doesn't stop me from wanting Skylar. I'm all mixed up. Tegan gripped his shoulder and shook him gently. Welcome to the club, man. After Tegan leapt from the metal stairs to the ground, Kellen raked his gaze down the hillside to where Dennison was teaching Skylar a more efficient way of tying the logs to the cables. She was good. Nimble, she bounded over the piles of felled trees under Dennison's direction. It was obvious, even from here, that she learned fast and was eager to keep her crewmates safe. She'd be good at this if Tegan gave her a shot. It gutted him. Kellen hadn't been afraid in a long time, but having Skylar under the heavy cables he operated had him carrying some major tension in his shoulders. Rolling his neck, he gritted his teeth and fought the urge to go down there and give Dennison the machine. He'd been gunning for a spot up on machinery for a month, and Kellen could protect her better from right beside her, down with the rest of the crew. But that's not what she needed out here. She wasn't in danger from her people on the job site. Not with the crew around. If he went down there and gave in to his craving to take care of her every need, she'd stay stunted and unsure of herself. And damn it, she was going to be a tough-as-nails hellion when she built up her confidence. He couldn't wait to see that spitfire spirit he'd caught a glimpse of turn into an inferno. She was a volcano, dormant now, but someday she'd put on one hell of a show. He had to be patient. He had to give her space to trust herself and her own decision-making abilities. Right now, he needed to staunch his protective instincts and find a balance between treating her how she deserved and stifling her growth. Chapter 9. It was pouring buckets of rain, but that wasn't the reason Tegan was calling the shift off early. The slopes were slippery and treacherous, and the working conditions miserable. Mudslides were almost constant, and slick logs kept slipping from wet cables. Mud caked on everyone's boots, making it nearly impossible to move without epic concentration. In the past hour, Tegan had barely taken his eyes off the sky. He just stood on the edge of the landing, hands on his hips, eyes narrowed, watching the storm roll in. The Alpha finally blasted a whistle from above them, where the big machinery sat abandoned by Brighton and Kellen.
Lightning scares Tegan, Dennison explained. If it stays far enough away, he'll keep us working. But this storm is going to barrel down right on top of us.
The roiling storm had blocked all sunlight, making it look much later and darker. And for the last half an hour, the sky had lit up with streaks of electricity blasting from the heavens. A long curl of thunder rumbled so loud it rattled the earth beneath her feet. Skylar stepped over a pair of felled logs, then jumped to the ground behind Dennison. Bruiser jogged past her. As sure-footed as a billy goat, he clapped her on the back and bolted ahead.
You did good today, rookie.
Skylar grimaced,
Hey, how long do I have to work here to get rid of that nickname?
More than a week and a half you've been here,
Bruiser called over his shoulder. So, she said, hopping another pile of logs to catch up with Dennison. Why is Tegan afraid of lightning?
He and Kellen and his mama, Meredith, used to live in this little house on the outskirts of Saratoga. It was struck by lightning 3 times and started burning with them sleeping inside of it.
She jerked her gaze up toward the landing. Thank God they'd all made it out. The thought of Kellen burning in his bed was a scene her overactive imagination would likely latch onto for nightmare time when she went to sleep tonight. 3 times? How did they know?
An investigator for their insurance company came out because the gas lines were faulty and had gone up like a blowtorch inside the walls.
Apparently, they can GPS lightning strikes, and their house was definitely hit 3 separate times, at least 30 seconds apart. The local news station came out, did a story on them and everything. Their insurance company won a lot of money by suing the company who made the gas lines. It wasn't the first house that had burned because of the faulty lines, and some of the other victims weren't as lucky as Tegan, Kellen, and Meredith. Anyway, the whole lightning never strikes the same place twice belief is bullshit. It's rare, but it happens, and Tegan doesn't like us out here exposed and under all this metal equipment and cables during a storm like this. He's a good alpha. A good leader.
Is Kellen scared of lightning too? She asked, taking Dennison's offered hand, as he helped her up a muddy embankment.
Nah, Tegan's not afraid of much. Kellen's afraid of less. He went through way worse when he was a cub. Lightning and burning houses were puppies and kitties compared to what he saw.
Dennison drew up short and ran his oversized hand over his face, then flung water from his fingertips.
Shit. Dennison turned and shook his head at her. It's like a talent you have, drawing people into a conversation like that. You have an instinct for when someone isn't paying attention to what they're saying. No more spilling secrets. If Kellen wants you to know anything about what makes him tick, he's gonna have to be the one who enlightens you.
Water dripped in a constant stream from his hard hat, and another lightning strike nearby lit up his face. Dennison narrowed his dove-colored eyes.
I wouldn't mind bargaining, though. A secret for a secret. What kind of shifter are you?
This was the most fun game of all. She'd been driving Dennison and the boys nuts, and it was the only defense she had against their constant ribbing. She didn't mind the half-hearted insults and nicknames she'd been accumulating from the Ash crew, but she could sure as hell drive them bat guano crazy by keeping her animal side to herself. She was pretty sure Kellen and Tegan knew exactly what she was, but they didn't seem inclined to spill the beans either, and sometimes they smiled when she avoided answering, as if they enjoyed the game, and she lived and breathed for that grin on Kellen's face. Wouldn't you like to know? She climbed past him, giggling, as Dennison cursed under his breath.
Look, we have a bet going on. Whoever gets you to change takes the pot. The winner will make a few $100. I'll go halvesies with you, if you tell me.
Denny, Denny, Denny. She clicked her tongue behind her teeth and held on to a slick tree root as she looked back over her shoulder at him. You cheating little cheatery cheater.
Damn straight. It's my turn to buy the beer for the crew this week. I need that money.
Sorry about your bad luck, she called, climbing higher.
Damn it, Skylar. There's beer for you too, you know.
I like the box wine Kellen gives me. So Kellen had survived a house fire, one that according to Dennison didn't even scathe him, and he'd gone through rough times when he was a cub. She lived for tidbits of information on Kellen's past like this. He shared almost nothing, clamming up every time she mentioned anything to do with her younger years to try and draw him out. In fact, he clammed up around her about almost anything lately. The man was utterly confusing. He stared at her in a constant fashion, but when she tried to connect, he shut down. The past week and a half had been the best and most revealing time of her life. It had also been the most confusing, thanks to Kellen's apparent regret over their little naked party last week. She tried not to let it hurt her. He told her he didn't want a mate from the beginning, but inside, she'd been growing fonder of him by the day. Now, she tiptoed the edge of an affection that was downright terrifying,
because it seemed the man she'd chosen didn't choose her back. As if her thoughts had conjured him, Kellen appeared through the rain, leaning against the side of a giant crane-like machine called a processor that stripped entire logs in seconds.
"Payday," Tegan said from right beside her. He handed her an envelope. "You're now a wage-earning taxpayer. Good job, rookie."
"You earned this." She stared at the envelope, utterly shocked. She hadn't thought about pay. As strange as that sounded, she really had seen the job as a way to earn her place in 1010, and with her friends.
"Keep it dry, will you?"
Tegan said with a grin, then jogged after his crew toward the parked trucks in the makeshift dirt lot across the road from the landing. "Right," she murmured, tucking the paycheck into the inner pocket of her weatherproof jacket. When she looked up, Kellen was still standing there in the rain, watching her with intense eyes. His lips were set in a thin line, but when a smile of joy spread across her face, a similar one crooked his lips too. Her heart stuttered, and her legs felt like she was floating. With long, excited strides, she approached him, but stopped short. Her instinct was always to hug him after a long day, and she always had to catch herself. This time was different, though. This time, it was Kellen who reached for her. He pulled her in close until the rasp of a sexy facial scruff rubbed against her rain-soaked cheek. "I'm proud of you," he murmured in a soft stroke against her ear. Her knees buckled, and she buried her face into the thick folds of his jacket. Those words did something amazing to her, every time. And he used them often, as if he wanted to make sure she knew her efforts were enough.
"I've missed you."
The words escaped her throat before she could stop them.
"How could you miss me? I've been right here."
Confusion edged his tone. Unable to explain how she'd missed his touch without sounding pathetic, she shook her head, her cheeks making zipping sounds against his jacket.
"Tell me, I don't understand," he said, easing her back. His eyes sparked with worry as he searched her face.
He was beautiful, drenched to the bone, eyes dark and caring, rain streaking down the sexy whiskers on his face. His nose flared, as if he was testing her scent. But all she could smell was wet earth, moss, and ozone.
"You're sad," he said, voice cracking.
"Tell me why, please." Why was she sad? She had no reason to be. She'd found a place as an honorary ash crew member. She'd found a job, and no one called her names or hurt her anymore. She felt safe for the first time in as long as she could remember, and the best man she'd ever met was looking down at her, gripping her arms like he cared what was wrong with her heart. But he'd been pushing her away. He was just a friend, and she wanted more. Staring at him, strong-framed, long-legged, holding her arms like he wouldn't let her go until she made him understand what was wrong, she couldn't help herself. Standing on her tiptoes and sliding her palms up to his chest, she pressed her lips against him. Kellen froze, and his mouth went rigid for a moment before they softened on hers. She thought he would allow her to kiss him, just a chaste pressure on his lips. But his arms wrapped around her so tight she couldn't breathe. He lifted her feet off the ground. With a groan of pure pleasure purring up his throat, he plunged his tongue past her lips. Wrapping her arms around his neck, she gave in to him, her Kellen, her strong, confusing, sweet as pie and protective as a warrior bear. "I missed you touching me," she whispered as he hoisted her up and pulled her legs around his waist. His eyes rolled back in his head, and he sighed as if her words had eased something tight and unmanageable within him. Her weight seemed to be nothing to him, though his arms were hard and bulged under the fabric of his jacket as he carried her toward his truck. He strode through the mud, his boots making squishy sounds with each step. The other trucks were gone, the rest of the ash crew having headed back down the mountain, and Kellen's jacked-up ride was the only one that remained. She pressed kisses all over his face and neck until he laughed.
"What are you doing, beautiful?"
"Making up for lost time. You've been distant this week."
"I have reasons for being so."
"Like what?" When the smile dipped from his face, she cupped his cheeks and kissed him again, softer this time. "You are a very tricky bear to get to know," she said, bestowing another playful kiss on the tip of his nose. "At least tell me what you're thinking now."
"Want to get you out of these clothes."
"Oh?" She waggled her eyebrows.
"Dirty-minded woman. I mean, I want to get you dry."
He seemed enraptured with the smile on her face, and he settled her onto the side of the bed of his truck, where she was eye level with him.
You've changed a lot since I first met you.
Breaking her fingernails lightly across the back of his head, just under his hard hat, she asked, How so?
You seem happier. You laugh a lot and make jokes.
He traced her lips with the tip of his finger.
You smile.
I'd smile more if you'd quit pushing me away.
I don't want to do that. I just want to make sure you're okay before I...
He was right there, right on the verge of letting her in.
Before you what?
He looked away at the dark wall of clouds rolling in from the east.
I want to take you into town.
Her heart slammed to the bottom of her feet, and she froze. He was getting rid of her? Taking her back to Roger? Not now, not after everything she'd found here.
But I don't want to go back,
she rasped through her closing throat. His dark eyebrows drew down. Rain spattered his yellow hard hat in a storm song as he stared at her.
I'd never take you back to him, Skylar. I meant, I want to take you to dinner.
His words became rushed.
I've been watching Tegan and Brooke, and she seems to like to go into town for dinner alone with him. I asked her about it, and she said it was good to date.
Her voice turned different, like a song, when she talked about spending time with Tegan, and I want that for you. Skylar's head spun with relief. Feeling dizzy, she leaned her hat against his and sighed her stress out on a breath.
What do you want for you?
What do you mean?
You said you want that sing-songy feeling for me,
but what do you want?
You.
His answer drew her up short. Cupping the back of his neck, she closed her eyes and lost herself in the feeling of being wanted by him. She'd thought he didn't see her as a potential partner. He'd slept with her, sure, but she was still learning her way around bear shifters, and they very well could play sex over feelings and emotion. Intimacy was important to her, though, and when she'd shared that part of herself, she'd expected him to open up. When he hadn't, she'd felt lost, and now it seemed like her feet had been slammed back to earth. The journey was dizzying, but so worth it if, at the end of the day, she could feel like this.
I thought you didn't want me, she admitted, the thick words clogging her throat.
A soft growl rumbled from his chest. The door latch clicked as he yanked it open. Then he set her inside the dry cab of his truck and shut the door beside him. She was settled in his lap, nestled against his chest as his breath came unevenly. Without a word, he reached over into the glove compartment and pulled out a tiny, navy-colored box. Slowly, he set it on the passenger seat, then looked out the window beside him with a slight frown. I asked Tegan about your people. Her chest heaved as she stared at the unassuming gift sitting on the seat beside them. With trembling fingers, she lifted it to her lap, then opened it slowly. Tears stung her eyes as she pulled out the delicate gold chain with the songbird charm. It was no bigger than her pinky nail. Her people exchanged trinkets at a ceremony that bound them as mates. If she accepted this gift, and if she gave him one in return, he would be hers, and she his.
Do you know how big this is?
Or is this just a gift because you want to take me on a date?
I bought it the day after you sang with Dennison, and you won your spot on the crew. I've kept it all this time because I don't want this life for you. I want a better mate for you, one who won't hurt you, one you won't grow to resent. I was trying to figure out how to make you happiest, to let you go or draw you closer.
He drew a sad gaze to hers and lowered his voice.
But then you said you missed touching me, and I can't go back anymore. You're mine.
Skylar cupped the necklace in her palm.
Kellen, I don't want to make you sad.
Her heart felt like it was overflowing and breaking all at once.
Why don't you think you would make a good mate?
If I tell you, you'll run away from me.
I won't. You have to trust that I care about you enough to listen and try to understand where you come from.
He stared out the window for a long time, then turned on the truck and scooted her into the passenger seat.
Jeez, why couldn't he just talk to her? He shut down like this every time, leaking out the smallest amount of information possible, which only served to drive her insane with the 20 new questions that arose. And pushing him for more didn't help. If he didn't want to talk about something, he'd just slam down a wall she was helpless to break through. She wanted him, all of him. But perhaps Kellen wasn't capable of sharing himself wholly with someone else. Maybe that was the problem. Maybe he knew he was unable to let people in, and he didn't want to hurt her with it. That was the only thing that made sense from the bits and pieces she'd scrapped together from him and Dennison. She placed the necklace back in the box and put it back in the glove compartment, confused as to why he'd given it to her, if he had no intention of actually allowing her into his life. And not just the life he had now. Kellen was different. He spoke different, acted different, seemed governed by different rules. Egan Tagen made allowances for him that the others in his crew weren't afforded. Kellen drove her back to the trailer park in silence, his eyes hard on the muddy road in front of them. She felt duped. Her heart had fallen for someone incapable of returning the depth of her feeling. And sadly, she'd still accept him if he was serious with the necklace. Pathetic. With her hard hat in hand, she shook out her damp hair and prepared for him to drop her off in front of 1010. Instead, he pulled his truck to a stop in front of 1015, his trailer. She hadn't ever been allowed in there, and from what she'd seen over the past week and a half, no one else ventured in there either. While the shifters in this crew openly walked into each other's trailers, sometimes without knocking, as she'd learned when Brighton barged in on her with her in the shower and snatched a bottle of low-dose painkillers from the medicine cabinet before he waved and let himself out, no one ever did that with Kellen's home. He seemed to be very private about his living space, a fact that only made her more curious about her elusive bear. The crew were out and about, battening down the hatches. They were stacking the plastic furniture around the fire pit, then dragging them to Bruiser's trailer. She thought Kellen meant to help them, but he cut the engine, jogged around the front of the truck, and opened Skylar's door. With a frustrated-sounding grunt and a muttered, "Oh, fuck it," he scooped her up, ran through the torrential downpour, and climbed his porch stairs. His shoulders heaved in an explosive sigh as he settled her on her feet, just outside the front door. "Swear you'll try and understand," he asked. "Of course," she said in the easiest promise she'd ever made. He opened the door and pulled her in by the hand. It was unnaturally dark, and she had difficulty shimmying out of her sopping wet jacket. He didn't seem to have the same problem by the sound of fabric rustling against her senses. She waited for him to flip on the light switch, and when he didn't, she asked, "Can we turn on a light?" Her night vision was impeccable, but there was so little illumination to work with, it was hard to see even the couches that were situated just a few feet in front of her. "Skylar, there aren't any lights. I took them all out when I moved in here. If I need light during the day, I open one of the windows I boarded up." She didn't understand. "So, you live in the dark? Like a bat?"
"No, I live in the dark like a bear. This isn't a trailer to me. It's my den. My bear requires it, or I won't have any control."
"Control over your animal?"
"Yes."
His hand was still strong and warm, all wrapped around hers, and she squeezed. "Who else has seen your den?"
"Tagen. He knows how I have to live, from when he and his mom took me in."
"Tagen? And me?" It was heartbreaking that he had to live in the dark because of his inner animal, but he was sharing something huge with her, something that scared him and made him hide from other people. He was letting her in.
"The others probably know, but it's something I don't share. My bear. He doesn't like others in his territory."
"But he's okay with me in here?"
"My bear chose you before I even knew you. You'll always be safe in here with him. With me."
"Will you show me around?"
"Sure. Wait here."
His hand disappeared, and moments later, a thin stream of gray light appeared from behind a piece of plywood Kellen scooted off a window. The living room and kitchen were the mirror opposite of 1010, with the kitchen on the right-hand side. A gray couch and love seat sat in front of a mahogany stand with a flat-screen television. The coffee table and end tables matched, and a painting of the processor Brighton operated hung on the wall. It was done in thick, dark paints with neon green and blue highlights, and in the background, the sky was littered with stars. A hurried but skilled brush had created the landscape, but the processor was detailed down to the last screw.
"Brooke paints," Kellen murmured.
Skylar had only ever seen the pictures of Brooke's attacker. She sometimes studied them when she was alone in 1010 and organized them into piles. They were mesmerizing, but this was incredible. Brooke had captured the mountain and the job site in a way Skylar never would have thought possible. She stepped around the couch and looked at it closer. "It's stunning."
She moved on to the kitchen with its whitewashed cabinets and quaint wooden cutouts. A countertop separated it from the living room. The sink was empty, and clean dishes were stacked on a drying rack. A small, two-seat table sat against the wall with a stack of outdoor magazines as the centerpiece. His furnishings weren't what she'd expected. They were sparse and minimal, but of fine quality. Everything seemed to be in its place, as if his bear couldn't tolerate clutter. Kellen watched her with an unfathomable expression as she moved around his space. His dark eyes never left her as she smiled and moved to his bedroom. Like the rest of the den, it was neat and orderly. His bed was made, the navy comforter wrinkle-free, as if it was ready for a catalog picture. A cup of water sat on the nightstand, and she brushed her finger down the cool glass before she turned. Steeling herself, she squinted at his dark silhouette across the room and asked, "Kellen, why do you have to live in the dark?" Kellen hesitated, lingering at the door. The dark stole his facial expressions, so she couldn't tell if he was shutting down on her again or not. After a pregnant pause, he approached slowly and lay on his bed. "Come here. My clothes are wet. Will your bear get angry if I mess up your bed?" She didn't understand the dynamics, nor had she realized how much his animal ruled his life. Her animal side wasn't like that, a separate personality. Her inner animal was just an extension of herself. "I don't care about the bed. I want it to smell like you anyway. Maybe then I can sleep better." She lowered herself to the mattress and laid her head on his chest. "Would you sleep better if I slept beside you?" His heart went up pounding like a bass drum against her ear, and she smiled. Hide his feelings all he wanted, but he couldn't put a poker face on his heartbeat. "Yes. I didn't think you would want to sleep in a place like this. You are light and happy, and this place is dark."
"This place is a part of you, and I want to be with you. Besides, I don't need light when I sleep."
Voice deep and sure, he said. "Then yes. And I live in a den because growing up, I didn't feel safe."
"Your dad."
She'd pieced together that his father had been bad news. Kellen sniffed.
"My dad wanted us cub to be the toughest bear that ever was. He thought letting me sleep in beds would make me soft and weak, so he raised me like the animal inside of me, like a bear. I slept in the woods, no tent, no mattress, separated from my family, no matter if it rained or snowed, until the old bastard died when I was 10.
"Oh my gosh," she said on a sad sigh. "Where was your mother?"
"He was beating on her. She didn't have any say in how I was raised. Eventually, she left."
Skylar clutched his shirt and squeezed her eyes closed against the image of Kellen sleeping all alone, cold and afraid out in the woods, every single night.
"Were you angry when she left?"
"Yeah. I don't blame her for leaving, though. I was mad she didn't take me with her. She was living out on a mountainside in a broken-down bus they'd converted to a home. Who could blame her for moving on from that? My uncle would come visit every few months, bring us food, and try to talk my dad out of his paranoia. Dad thought humans would find us out, so I didn't see or talk to anyone outside of my family until he died, and I wandered into the nearest town. I didn't know how to talk to anyone. Still don't. Makes me feel different, like an outsider. People don't understand me, and I don't understand them."
Everything made sense now. Every single thing she'd been confused about clicked quietly into place. His hatred for men who hurt women. His need to lift her up and make her strong. The way he talked and how he discussed shifter matters within earshot of humans. How he watched others as if he was studying them. How he kept his past hidden. No wonder he'd locked these secrets away. She would have done the same thing to protect herself.
"Were you happy when you went to live with Tegan? Were you able to be a child?"
Kellen huffed a humorless laugh. "Poor Meredith didn't know what to do with me for the first 2 years. I was much worse off than I am now, I can tell you that. But yeah, I was happy. I am happy. But some of the stuff I went through is just part of me now. I won't be rehabilitated. I'm just me."
"Kellen," she asked, hugging his waist and snuggling against his side, "how do bears claim a mate?"
He froze under her touch, every muscle rigid. "The males bite the females during sex.
hard enough to leave a scar. We mark our mates. I wouldn't be any good at being a mate, though. We would have to be something different. Something less.
Disagree. I think you would make a wonderful mate. Who told you that? Who said you would be bad at it?
My mother. His voice dipped to a ragged-sounding whisper. She would cry and say I looked just like my father, that I'd grow up to be just like him. A monster.
Skylar hunched in on herself at the pain in those words. What a terrible set of parents he'd had. What a terrible life they'd provided for him. Even if his mom was hurt by her mate, she shouldn't have taken it out on her child.
Kellen, I want you. Her voice trembled, and she dashed her hand across her damp lashes. I want you, because I know the truth. I know you would be a wonderful mate. You are nothing like your father, do you understand? You brought me here to save me. You've lifted me up at every opportunity. I'm stronger because of you. You gave me the necklace because you picked me, right?
In the dark, she could barely see him, but she could feel him nod his head, hear the whisper of his hair against the comforter.
Well, I pick you back. Fuck what your mother said. I know you. I see you. Your heart is too big to ever hurt me. I love the life you've given me, and I love the way you treat me. I love your den. I love you, Kellen. Everything about you. None of this scares me off. It only makes me feel closer to you.
Kellen's breath hitched, and he pressed his forefinger and thumb against his eyes. She pulled him up and straddled him, tugged his shirt over his head, then tossed it to the floor. When her own shirt and bra joined the pile, she hugged him up tight until there was no end to her and no beginning to him. Her chilled skin warmed against his, and when his shoulders stopped shaking, she eased back and cupped his cheeks.
You're mine, Kellen Cade Brown. I don't care what anyone else says. Our relationship is different, because we're different, and that's okay with me.
He rested his forehead against hers. I want you to. I'll mark you when you're ready. A slow smile of sheer joy stretched her face. Her heart was wide open and raw from the emotions of the last 2 weeks, but she wasn't exhausted from the upheaval like she should have been. Instead, she felt alive for the first time in forever, and Kellen was a huge part of why she could smile again. She thought she hadn't had a choice when Roger picked her, but she'd been lied to. The choice in a mate was hers. The choice in a mate was Kellen's. Kellen kissed her slow and easy, brushing his fingertips lightly up and down her back, conjuring goose flesh as she bowed against him. Skylar brushed her lips down his jawline, then his neck, and rested her chin on his shoulder. With a private grin at how lucky she'd been after all, she closed her eyes and whispered, I'm ready now.
Chapter 10
Where do you want my mark? Kellen asked on a breath.
Someplace where everyone can see it.
I don't want to hurt you. His hips swayed against her thighs, pressing the thick roll of his erection against her jeans.
I'll be honored to bear your mark.
He nodded and cupped her breast in his warm palm. It is my honor that you've chosen me to be your mate, beautiful. Her heart fluttered at the nickname. Out of all the ones the Ash crew called her, this one was her favorite. Kellen had gifted it to her when she'd felt worthless and hideous. It was the first word that began this incredible transformation inside of her. Kellen undressed her the rest of the way, then shucked his pants and pulled back the comforter. When she was tucked up, dry and warm beside him under the covers, he rolled her on her side and pulled her back against his chest. A delicious tremble shook up her spine at the feel of his taut chest against the tender skin across her shoulder blades. What was that? Humor laced his question. Heat blazed up Skylar's cheeks, and she was thankful he wouldn't be able to see it in the dark. She closed her eyes and focused on the way his finger trailed fire up her side.
I like the way you touch me, she whispered, afraid to break the spell he cast on her.
His cock, hard as stone, pressed against her lower back as he tucked his hips forward. Gooseflesh sprang up under his fingers. When he dragged his fingers softly over the curve of her shoulder, gooseflesh sprang up under his touch. Good, he murmured. His tongue touched the back of her neck just before his soft lips did. He gripped her hip as he allowed his teeth to scrape her skin.
Was this it? Would he mark her now, or was this just a tease? She arched her back and exposed her neck, pressing against his erection. His hold on her hip tightened, and a quiet growl of approval rumbled up his throat. She could feel the vibration against her spine and gasped as he touched his teeth to her neck again. Wetness pooled between her legs. Reaching back, she ran her fingertips through his hair and pulled him closer to her, exposing her throat even more, encouraging him. He chuckled deep in his throat. You do want my mark, don't you, little songbird? A whimper escaped her lips as she nodded. She wanted it more than she'd ever wanted anything. With his claiming mark on her skin, she'd belong to him, a man worthy of her affection. He nudged his knee between her legs and lifted upward until she was spread wide. Her body curled backward against him as he pumped his erection slowly against her spine. With a strong grip, he pressed his thumbs into her lower back, then angled her hips toward him. I was told your people mate from behind, he whispered, against her ear, just before plucking her sensitive lobe between his lips. Would you like that? She was panting now, desperate for him to touch the wetness he'd conjured between her legs. Please, she begged. Yes. Kellen eased his hips away, and when he pressed against her backside again, his long cock slid against her crease, the head of it touching her clit just barely before he pulled back. Oh, that tease. She was going to explode if he didn't fill her. Kellen, she whimpered. He ran his hand across the swell of her hip, then up her rib cage, slowly drawing another tremble from her body. He was so close, his cock sliding against her wetness, teasing her entrance. He grazed his teeth against her neck again, and she arched deeply against him. The sharp canines disappeared, only to be replaced by his soft lips as he sucked on her skin. He reached around to the front of her and cupped her sex. She bucked helplessly against his palm. I'm going to come, she panted out in warning. She felt his lips stretch in a smile against her neck. He pulled his hand away, and she reached back and gripped his hair in an effort to stop the throbbing that was building inside of her. All of her nerve endings were on fire, and any touch from him now would be dangerous. She was riled up and just on the edge as he pressed his cock through her wet heat again. Just shy of her sensitive spot, he pulled back. Kellen let out a long breath as he gripped her waist and slid into her. Her body stretched around him, and she let out a groan at the feel of him moving within her. Slipping his hand between the sheets and her side, he wrapped her up in a tight embrace and squeezed her breast. Tweaking her nipple gently, he pulled out of her slowly, torturously, then thrust into her again. Faster, she begged. Kellen's fingers dug into her waist at her request, and he jerked forward, as if he were losing control. As he pulled out of her much too slowly again, his muscles shook. Please, Kellen, faster. His stomach contracted forward again, forcing her to fill him. This time he rolled his hips slightly faster, and she closed her eyes. This, right here, this was what making love should be like. It wasn't supposed to be used for pain, like Roger had threatened. It wasn't supposed to degrade her or make her feel dirty. Sex wasn't a weapon. This, what Kellen was doing to her now, was bonding her to him in a way she never could have imagined. Each tender caress made her love him even more, made her devotion to him run deeper. Kellen didn't know how to fuck her. He only knew how to worship her body. Louder and louder, her voice lifted in a groan of ecstasy every time he pressed into her, until he began bucking hard. His careful control was slipping away, and the growl in his throat became more feral with every sound of pleasure she made. He flipped her on her hands and knees and slammed into her from behind, rocking her forward, then back. His body pressed against the length of her spine, and his lips found her neck on the next thrust. His teeth touched her skin, her nerve endings firing just at her hairline. Each powerful thrust, she was sure he'd pierce her skin and claim her. Pressure spread through her abdomen until she couldn't control it anymore. He was waiting for something. He'd been careful with her, caring. He'd said once that he wanted the choice to be hers. Kellen, she gasped, I choose you. He cupped her sex and slammed into her, just as his teeth penetrated the skin at the back of her neck. Pain and pleasure clashed, blinding her until she cried out. Her body tensed around him as he swelled within her, and as he forced his elongating teeth down into her muscle so his mark would scar and remain forever, another wave of orgasm consumed her. He thrust into her in such a fast rhythm, all she could do was lock her elbows and hope her arms held, as pulsing waves of pleasure crashed through her, like an ocean surge against the sand. Kellen froze, biting down as he groaned. His seed poured into her, warming her from the inside out. He pushed forward again as a second jet shot into her, then a third. Caught between pain and bliss, she cried out as his bite released her. Skylar's arms trembled so badly she fell forward onto her elbows. Why was she crying? Kellen's tongue stroked, where warmth streamed down her throat. Over and over he lapped at her, cleaning her, soothing her. "It's done," he murmured in her ear. Kisses trailed around the injury, and when his weight disappeared from her, she thought he would pull out and cradle her. Instead, he kept his connection deep within her and ran his strong hands up and down her back, massaging, petting, and relaxing her. Locking one arm against the mattress beside her, he reached under her and kneaded her breasts. Then he cleaned the wound again. It felt better already. Part of it was her shifter healing, repairing the muscles that had been ripped open. But it was more than that. Kellen was healing her, heart, soul, and body, with his careful attentions. His cock grew hard within her again, but he didn't seek pleasure for himself. Instead, he pulled out, rolled her over gently, propped a pillow under her neck, and kissed her lips. She could taste iron on his tongue from where he'd cleaned her, but it only made her love him more. He hadn't wanted to hurt her, but he'd been strong, done what was necessary to claim her, then taken care with her afterward. Her gentle bear, her tender mate. He lowered himself and sucked on her sensitive nipples in turn, then trailed his lips down her stomach. Her breath froze as his mouth brushed her clit. With such tenderness, he kissed and sucked and lapped until she came again. With her hands in his hair guiding him, she didn't scream out like she had earlier. This time, his name came on a breath of gratitude as he brought her to climax slowly. And when her aftershock ceased, he climbed up beside her and tucked her neatly against his chest, where she was safe and warm. "My mother was wrong," he whispered in the dark. "I won't be like my father. I'll work hard to make you happy every day. I promise to be the mate you deserve." A tear slipped out of the corner of her eye and landed with a tiny splat against the pillow. Running her hand down the smooth planes of his back, she burrowed in closer to him. "You already are." Chapter 11. A tremendous banging noise jolted Skylar awake. Her body flung backward so fast, her stomach dipped to her toes before she was still again. She seemed to be pressed between the headboard and the wide expanse of Kellen's back. She couldn't see a damn thing in Kellen's den. "Rain stopped," Bruiser called through the thin wall. "We need your truck." The tight knots in Kellen's shoulder muscles relaxed. "Idiots," he muttered, stumbling from the bed. "What's happening?" Skylar asked, heart still lodged somewhere between her throat and her brain. "Is someone hurt?"
"No," Kellen said in an inhuman snarl. The rustle of fabric sounded from somewhere to her left, and she squinted at the darker figure. He seemed to be struggling into a pair of jeans. "The boys like to go night mudding when the weather is like this."
"Right. Night mudding. Are you going with them?"
"You want to come too?"
It was in the middle of the night, and by all accounts, she should be exhausted after the emotional roller coaster of yesterday. But Bruiser banging on the echoing trailer walls had frightened her wide awake. "I want to be with you." The mattress sank in around her, and Kellen's lips landed on hers, as if he could see her just fine in the darkness of his den.
"Good.
I need to get some fresh clothes and get ready, though. It'll take me 5 minutes." He gripped her ass as he pulled her up, then nibbled on her neck. She bathed in his attention, smiling into the darkness as he worked his lips downward to the base of her throat.
"Kellen, hurry up," Drew yelled through the wall.
Kellen's growl was nothing shy of feral. With a sigh, he helped her dress in her discarded clothes that he seemed to find just fine in the pitch black, then led her to the front door. With a triumphant swat on her ass, he winked and said,
I'll see you in 5, mate. A giggle pealed from her throat as heat crept into her cheeks. Mate. Just that word from his lips sent riotous flutters into her middle. He gripped the railing of his porch as she walked across the street. Twice, she looked back at him, and both times, he watched her with hunger and pride evident in his gaze. The trailer park was lit by strands of holiday lights that zigzagged this way and that between and around the trailers. There weren't any streetlights, but the tiny, firefly-looking lights made up for it with quantity. The ash crew was busy piling out of their trailers and loading into trucks.
"Holy shit, rookie," Dennison said as he sauntered toward Tegan's trailer. "What happened to your neck?"
He shoved a strand of her hair to the side and made a hissing sound behind his teeth. Well, now that he mentioned it, Kellen's mark hurt like a mother trucker, throbbing and burning like it had been waiting for someone to notice to spring up and pain attack her.
"It looks like someone," Dennison's eyes went wide, "bit you," he finished quietly.
His narrowed eyes lifted to hers, and she couldn't help the big, dumb grin that cracked open her face.
"Are you shitting me?" he asked. "Kellen, is she shitting me?"
Kellen cocked his head to the side and gave Dennison a proud smile. "She's mine," he confirmed.
Two in one night, Brooke.
Dennison was running around in circles now as if he didn't know what to do with himself.
"What are you squawking about, man?"
Bruiser asked, sliding from behind the wheel of Dennison's old beat-up Bronco. Brighton, Hayden, and Drew jogged over, followed by Tegan and Brooke. "What's happened?" Brooke asked. So happy, she thought she'd burst from it. Skylar lifted up her hair and showed them Kellen's mark. "I'm claimed." Tears stung her eyes as the ash crew surged forward. Suddenly, Kellen was there, shaking under the claps on his back and rough hugs, and she was swept up in Brighton's arms, feet completely off the ground. Brooke pulled her down just as Tegan wrapped Kellen in a hug and slapped him on the back. The Alpha said something too low for her to hear in Kellen's ear, and her mate answered with an emotional smile. Tears streaked Brooke's face as she shook Skylar's shoulders gently.
"We're ash crew now."
Skylar frowned, uncertain what Brooke meant.
"What?"
Brooke turned and pulled her shirt down over her shoulder. On the muscle, just above her shoulder blade, was a claiming mark, as dark and angry-looking as her own felt.
"Brooke," she breathed, "Tegan claimed you?"
Brooke's face crumpled, and a soft sob left her throat as she nodded. Skylar wrapped her arms around her friend's neck and rocked slowly from side to side, burying her face against Brooke's uninjured shoulder. Voice thick, Brooke said,
"I always wanted a sister, but now it feels like I have one."
God, this feeling inside of Skylar was almost too much happiness. She looked down at her arm, surprised she wasn't aglow with it. Rough arms wrapped around her and Brooke, then another set and another, until the entirety of the ash crew was squeezing the breath out of her. Skylar laughed breathlessly.
"No more all boys club."
"Thank God," Dennison crowed. "Too many dicks made it super boring around here." All right," Tegan said, voice growly. "The girls are both hurt and need time to heal before you ruffians squish the life out of them like this. Let them loose."
The anaconda death grip loosened, and she grinned at Brooke as she wiped her damp cheeks with the back of her hand.
"Congratulations."
Brooke's delicate nostrils flared, and it looked like the second round of waterworks were on their way.
"You too. You got yourself a good man now, Skylar Drake."
"Okay, enough with the mushy shit. We doing this or what?"
Bruiser called over his shoulder. He was already jogging back toward the Bronco. Tegan tossed Brighton a set of keys and said,
"You and Denny take my truck. Brooke and I will ride with them."
He jerked his head toward Skylar and Kellen.
"Why?"
Dennison asked.
"Because Kellen is the best mutter out of all of us, and you're a front seat driver. We'll lead."
Kellen scooped Skylar up and carried her toward his white monster truck. He looked relieved and so satisfied, he was practically seeping happiness. She cupped his cheeks, his short scruff rough against her hands. She lived to see him like this. He wasn't confused or overthinking everything like he'd been doing. He was just open, free.
"Oh," Skylar exclaimed, remembering. "I was supposed to change clothes."
Kellen leaned down until his nose touched her throat.
These clothes are fine. You smell like me. Which was great and all, but she was about to share a small space with Tegan and Brooke.
I haven't changed my clothes yet either, Brooke said low. Well,